You open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter number 1 today. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. What a privilege it is to have you. We have many, many guests this morning, and we're thankful to have you. I sure would like to meet you after church and talk to you for just a minute, get to know you a little bit. It'd be my great, great joy, and I would truly, truly be disappointed if I haven't met you yet, and we leave this property today not meeting each other. I surely would like to meet you. Luke chapter number 1 this morning. Luke chapter number 1 this morning, verse number 13. Luke chapter number 1 this morning, verse number 13. And we will read all the way down perhaps to verse number 17. We'll probably stop right there. Luke chapter number 1, I'll give you just a minute to find it. If you're just joining us, we are in a series on Sunday mornings entitled Focused on the Family. Focused on the Family. And we have been looking since November what the Bible says about the home and in support of the family. And if you're here this morning and you say, I do not have children yet, or I'm past that, they got out the door and we're not letting them back in, if that's where you are this morning, that's fine. You are part of the family of God. You're a part of the family of this church. And so this series is not just for those who have kids right now, or those who are raising teens or anything. It's for us as a church. And the Bible says it is the church that is the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. This is why people who know their Bibles can give. Now, I understand you got to be careful about giving out advice where it's not wanted. That's called intrusion. Somebody say amen right there. But listen, this is why somebody who's like myself, I've not raised my children. I am raising my children. The reason why I can speak on how to raise your children is not from my experience, but from God's Word. It's the truth. And so we need every believer in this room to be settled and grounded in the truth. Amen like that right there. Y'all with me on that this morning? Luke chapter number 1 today, focused on the family. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And we'll just pause right there. Parents, I cannot think of a greater goal or desire for raising children than what we just stated right here. That our children would be great in the sight of the Lord. That doesn't mean they're well esteemed by their culture. It simply means that God honors the way they're living. Amen? Do you understand that you could be deemed a success in this world and still be a failure, and deemed a failure in this world and still be a success? Everybody understand that this morning? And so he says, I want you to understand. He said, you're going to have a child. In verse number 14, it says, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He said, listen, Zachariah, you and Elizabeth, y'all going to have a child, and the result of that child's life and those decisions is it's going to bring you joy. I can't think of a greater goal as a parent than for my children. Quite frankly, you might say this sounds selfish, but for me to see the decisions that they make and get joy out of those decisions instead of heartache. There is no greater joy than your children walk in truth. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? That's a great goal, that my children would make decisions that bring honor to the Lord and also joy and not heartache to their parents. I tell you what's a greater goal, though, is that bringing many to the Lord. The Bible said, told them to John, and said, John, Zacharias, your child that you're going to have is going to bring people to the Lord. There is no greater goal, no greater desire for raising children than to raise kids that bring joy to your life because of their decision making, and to raise kids that bring others to the Lord with their life and that honor God with their life. That really, quite frankly, and I'm going to say it again this morning, I do not care what occupation my children end up in. That is irregardless to me. It does not matter to me. Amen. I'm not picking careers for them based on the earnings potential. I'm not doing any of that. But what I am concerned with is that they honor God with their life. They make Christ-honoring decisions, which will bring me great joy, quite frankly. And thirdly, they bring others to the Lord. If I can do that as a parent, if that's all I can do as a parent, then I have succeeded parent-wise. Amen. If anything, I desire that each of you parents and grandparents that are here this morning, that you'll catch a vision for what your child can be. I want to speak to you, and I want to finish the message this morning on the potential of a child. The potential of a child. Can you imagine what would have swelled up in the heart of Zacharias and Elizabeth when they were told, this is the possibility, this is what your child can do if you do it right. Think about that for a minute. How does that happen? How do you raise children that bring you joy? How do you raise children that honor God? How do you raise children that bring others to the Lord? It's an important question. I want to say to you a few statements before we get any further. You cannot determine your child's potential. Amen? You cannot determine your child's potential, meaning this, you can't make them anything more than what God can make of them. God has given them specific gifts, abilities, and intellects. Somebody say me this one right here. You guys understand that? All of it's good. Say praise the Lord. All of it's good. Whatever your child is, however God has made them, Thank God for that. That's who they are. That's what God has made them to be. Don't try and change that. Don't try and make them into something they're not supposed to be. Some of you have an amen on this, right? I'm just talking to you today. You cannot determine your child's potential, but you can help your child discover, discern, and then devote themselves to what God wants them to do. That is the job as a parent. I've got these four. I don't know if I told you I got four now. Amen. I got these four youngins. And here we go. 11, 8, 6, and a month. And here we go. I don't know what God has for any of them. I do not know. But my goal, my passion, my zeal right now, I am driven by the fact I want them to discern, discover, and then devote themselves to what God wants them to do and why they were created and what they were created to do. I am of the firm belief that every child and every person born of this earth has a specific purpose and a plan from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Every single one of them. I truly believe that without a shadow of a doubt. You cannot determine your children's potential. You can help them discover it, discern it, and devote themselves to it. But I want to tell you this. You can also hinder, handicap, and ruin your child's potential. You can do this. While you can't determine it, you can ruin it. I have watched over 20 years of ministry. I have watched parents, so to speak, kind of hinder the potential of their child with decisions that they've made and decisions that they haven't made. I go with you on that one right there. And I'm going to just park it here for a little side note. Some of the most destructive things I've ever seen happen in a child's life are decisions that parents did not make that they needed to make. God was saying, do this, go this way, do you need to do this? And they just simply did not make that decision, and the results were cataclysmic, and it really, truly ruined the potential of their child. You may disagree with me this morning. I had a discussion not too long ago. I want to say this, that your children do not pay for your sins. I want to tell you that one right now. But your sins and your decisions will affect your children's lives. It definitely will do that. It will mess with them. And then you say, well, wait a minute here. I think I've already kind of overworked fast there. I've kind of messed up. Just stay with me to the end of the message. But the bottom line is this. I, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, I know that my child, not because they got special parents, but because God has created them uniquely and wonderfully made in His image. Somebody say amen. I know that those children have potential, not just for money making, but for honoring God with their life. They have that potential. They're here. They can do it by the grace of God, and God will help them. And all I'm trying to do, like the little arrows they are, I'm trying to set them up and shoot them out and point them in the right direction so that they live out God's potential for their life. Amen. That's what I want. I will be heartbroken. I have one child in here now, and I got the rest, two of them maybe in here now. I don't know what's going on with the little one here. But I will be heartbroken if my children succeed at everything but the will of God. I want my children to be patriots, by the way. Amen. I believe it's biblical. Amen. Amen. I got a message coming on July 4th, in the July, get ready for it. What's worse than a communist? Get ready for it. Amen. That's going to bless your life. Amen. Get ready. Amen. Get ready. So I was picking what Sunday I'm going to come. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, all right? But get ready. What's worse than a communist? I want my children to be patriots. I want them to love their country. I want them to understand the foundation and the founding principles of this nation. Somebody give me an amen right there. But if all I do is raise a really great patriot who understands the Constitution but doesn't understand the Word of God, I have failed. I want to mine the mental potential of my children. One of my children blew my mind the other day, brought up something that he saw. It was not a negative thing. I just couldn't believe he remembered it. He would have been 3 or 4 years old. That's 4 years. It was a little bitty just blip of something that we were visiting in Kentucky. He just brought something up, just a little bitty detail that I could not even remember. I thought, oh my goodness gracious, I better be careful what I'm playing in this boy's mind. Yes, and then I thought about, man, if he can remember that, what could he do with the Word of God? Amen. I don't have that kind of, I don't got it, all right? I didn't get it, but he's got it. And listen, I'm just saying, I want to mine that potential. But what does it matter if they're the smartest kid in the room, but they don't know the wisdom of God? Amen. Are y'all with me on this? So I don't want them just to reach American potential, whatever that means. I want them to reach and live out God's potential for their life. Amen. Jesus made an amazing statement about John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 11. Let me just read it here. Talking about, listen to this one. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Can you imagine that being said about you, parents? I would get a sticker that says, parent of the world's greatest child. great, you got the honor roll at the junior school. Big deal. I got the greatest child ever born. Amen. That trumps all of that. Amen. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, listen, we're not going to do that tonight and today, and that's not what God wants you to do. But imagine the magnitude of that statement that God said, that Jesus said of John the Baptist and of his own parents. He said, there's never been a child born greater than him. Suppose you were credited or responsible, let's say it that way, for rearing a child with God's potential. If you're a parent, you are. We're not going to compare our children with John the Baptist. Your child doesn't have to meet certain criteria to be successful, man-made criteria. That's not what I'm talking about here. Simply this, you are responsible for raising a child with God's potential in their life. It's powerful. Our world has a totally different definition of successful child rearing than what we've read. We say a child is successfully reared if they honor God, bring honor to their parents. That's still an amen right there. Somebody say amen. So they bring honor to their parents and bring others. We say that's successful parenting. Our world says things differently. Our culture says a well-balanced child means that the same number of positives and negatives, that they have experienced good and bad, and they've experienced an equal amount of evil and an equal amount of right, and that is just dumb. That's the deep Greek, dumb. The world says that a high school graduate to be normal is not normal unless they've had at least one sexual experience, at least one, if not two. Let me tell you something, that's dumb. That's dumb. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Our culture tells us that a child needs to be exposed to every type of experience. They need to let their minds be made up. They need to determine who they are and what they are. That's amazing to me, all the people that say that are actually telling their children what they have to be. Now, I'm just going to name a name right now. I can't remember if I got it right. I don't know if it's Charlize Theron or Scarlett Johansson just said her 7-year-old boy is transgender. Your 7-year-old boy don't know squat about none of that. Amen. Amen. That ain't true. That's dumb. That's false. It's wicked. Somebody give me an amen on this right there. Hey, I was 7 years old. I played G.I. Joes. I didn't know this. I didn't. What do you say? What did you think about girls? I hated them.
Amen.
I definitely didn't want to be one. Somebody would have had to teach me that. Say, why did you hate them? I had two sisters. Enough said. Okay? They tell me what to do. Told on me. They had a lot to tell. I'm just telling you right now that the world says let them determine what they are, and then while up here in Rockland they're trying to expose them to this sex ed education, transgender education. Did y'all see the news this week? At second grade and first grade, you're trying to indoctrinate their minds already. You're not letting them determine what they are going to be. You are indoctrinating them to become something that the culture says they need to be. That is wicked. Wicked. My hind leg, I wouldn't let my child get none of that. I'm telling you that right now. Somebody wrote a book that says it takes a village. Let me tell you something. It takes a village to raise a village idiot.
Amen.
But all it does is take a family with God's word and raise them to raise a godly child.
Amen.
He said, I don't like that. I'm sorry. All right, I'm not. Now I want you to go with me back here to Luke chapter number 1. Amen.
Amen.
False philosophies are invading. You say they're invading our culture. No, it's not invading our culture. It is the culture. It's invading our churches. It's invading our homes. God's people have adopted the ways of the world of raising children, and we're wondering why it ain't working. Let me tell you, it ain't designed to work that way. Amen. No, God has blessed me with 4 little youngins, and those little youngins got potential that only God knows, only God can understand, only God has it planned out. I don't know what it is, but the bottom line is this, I'm not here to determine it, but I am here as a parent. That's why God made me the parent, to help them discover that. Amen? That's parenting, letting your kids determine what they're going to do. Hogwash. You don't let your kids determine they're going to brush their teeth? If we did that right now, I got 2 of them that wouldn't care until their teeth fell out. That's the truth. They wouldn't care. I'm not going to let them determine that. Why am I going to let them determine anything else? Are y'all with me now? I'm trying to be sweet. I'm trying to be sweet this morning. I want to give you some things. I'm trying. I didn't say I would. I just said I'm trying. I want to give you 5 or 6 things from the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. These are not mind-blowing things. I'm not saying that there's a perfect formula to turn out a John the Baptist. I'm simply saying these are 5 or 6 things we see in their life that help them manage, direct, and help John the Baptist discern the potential that God had for his life. Don't be upset by that word potential. Amen. This is not 5 steps to a healthier you. This is simply understanding as Jeremiah, that God says, I've ordained thee. I put you on this earth for a certain reason, for a certain time, at a certain place. Amen. And I'm going to help my children discover that. Amen. And I will tell you this much. There's some things I perhaps have missed in my life, and I wish I could go back and do, but I can't go back and do. But I will redeem the time.
Amen.
Amen. I will use the time that I've got now that I can to help my children recognize and discern and live out their potential for the Lord.
Amen.
Let's get this is not again, I said it last week. We looked at the life of Samson and we looked at the life of John the Baptist and how on paper they were very similar, but the character of their life was very different. I'm here to tell you this morning, and let me just make this application. We can have our children, all of our children, they're here. We got a bunch of them downstairs. That was a wonderful little great cloud of witnesses that trampled out of here. Amen. That beautiful thing right there. Isn't that wonderful? Nurseries filled and all, praise God. They can all have the same things on paper. But some of them can end up over here and some of them can end up over here. Don't you make the mistake of Eli and Samuel that simply because you got your kids in God's house that they're going to live for God. We'll get to that at another time. We want to look at some things this morning, very simple things, lived out over a long period of time that will help your children live for the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, we come this morning. I recognize I'm speaking to a vast audience with vast amount of needs and experiences, Lord. I understand that as far as immediately applicable, Lord, that there are some folks, they are not child-rearing, they're past those days, Lord. I understand that. Lord, I understand that there are some who are not yet on that journey, and Lord, we have young ears, and we've got just everywhere, and only you can work in the heart of each young person and each person here today. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. I cannot do that, nor will I try to do it. But Lord, would you help me now? Help me get out of the way. Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I cannot communicate to my dear friends, my brothers and sisters. I cannot communicate what needs to be communicated by myself. I'm just unable. But your word's powerful. And you've promised that it'll accomplish what you please. And so we'll rest in that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Lord, we may not turn out John the Baptist, but that's okay. As long as our children turn out and do what they were supposed to do, what you've called them to do, what you've created them to do, then we will have succeeded parenting-wise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I'm going to give you five or six things this morning. I'm not going to have you jump all over the Bible today. This may be my last message for a little while and focused on the family. We might step back from it just a little bit, not for lack of material, not for lack of sermons. I've got about another 30 or 40 that I want to preach, honestly. But I just feel like the Lord may be leading me in a different direction here for a little bit, just to give some of you a respite from it. But I want you to notice a few things. In Luke chapter number 1, if I could give you a sermon title, it would simply be this, How to Turn Out a Blank the Baptist. All right? John, Johnette, Johnny, Susie, whatever that might be. How did this happen? How did this happen? I want you to notice, first of all, that both parents lived righteous lives before the Lord. Verse number 6. These are not going to be mind-blowing truths. And they were both righteous before God. See where I got that point? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The Bible says that both of Elizabeth and Zacharias, yes, they had some unique circumstances and different things going on, but the bottom line is this, both parents lived righteous lives before the Lord. And you have to understand that before John the Baptist showed up, before that announcement was made, they were doing all the things they were supposed to be doing. I cannot stress enough to you this morning that if you're going to raise children for the Lord, both parents need to be on the same page and living with the same level of commitment to the things of God. If there are two parents in the home, and I understand that some of you are single parents, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but I'm saying this, if both parents are in the home, both of you got to have the same level of commitment to the things of God. Single parents, this is a tough issue. It's a tough job. I understand that it's tough because you're raising perhaps your children with one set of values, and then a weekend comes, and it seems like a week's worth of work, 6 days of work, 5 days of work gets undone in a weekend, and you got to spend the next 2 days. That's real, by the way. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's real, and it's difficult. Don't make light of it. You better pray for our single parents. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. Help them out now. Amen. They ain't the stepchildren of the church. Amen. They're part of our family, and they need a church to help them pray and understand these kinds of things. And so you need to understand that. That is a difficult thing, but it is not impossible to do. It is not impossible to raise your children for the Lord. Amen. 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 Let me say this. I mean, I can tell you this. I mean, you might disagree with me, but just 15 years of youth ministry plays out a little different. What is more damaging to a child is when both parents are in the house and one's going one way and the other's going another. That is more damaging. I have seen children who, yes, they got one set of rules throughout the school week and then they go stuck on the weekend in somebody else's life. And I've seen that, and that is a difficult thing. But what has been more and more difficult and what has hindered more of my youth ministry and working with young people was this: both parents, same church, same home, two different directions. Amen. Because now they're being torn. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. My parents are here this morning. I'm thankful for them. My dad did not get saved until well into his adulthood. I don't remember him not being saved. I don't know anything about it. All right. I remember one time he had a beard and then the beard went. I'm not saying that was part of being salvation. Amen. I don't remember any of that, fellas. I'm not saying none of that. Amen. I just remember he had a beard and then he didn't have one. All right. And I didn't know who he was. Amen. I got a little picture of that crying all about it or something like that. But the bottom line was this: I do not know my dad. My dad was a good moral man. He was better than most of the men that went to church in the area. I can tell you that one right now. That was a shame. That was a shame. That's what kept him from coming to the Lord, quite frankly. It wasn't the sinners in the road. It was the hypocrites in the church. He was better. He was better to my mama and a better worker than the rest of those other cabs were. And I'm just, excuse me, amen. That's just what was going down. But the bottom line is, I do not know what it's like to grow up in a home with two different directions. I just don't know. I'm not bragging. I have nothing to say about it. I had nothing to do with it. But I will tell you this right now. I'm standing here right now because I only had one direction I had to follow in the home. I only had one direction. I can tell you this, I was my daddy's right hand man. Whatever my dad did, I wanted to do. Wherever he went, I wanted to go. I loved my daddy so much. When I was little, he'd come home. You might think this is weird, but this is the truth. They'll tell you. I loved my daddy so much at night, I'd go get one of his T-shirts and I'd sleep with it just because I could smell him. That's the truth. Am I telling the truth, Mom and Dad? I'm telling the truth. I just wanted to be him. When we'd go hunting, yes, hunting. We'd go hunting. That means we kill things. And don't you have a problem with killing something if you're eating chicken from the store, okay? I'm going to just tell you that, hypocrite. All right, but anyway, we'd go hunting, and my dad's footsteps would be this. My dad about 6'2", and he'd be walking, and I'd be a little fella, and I'd be walking behind him in the snow or the mud, and I would put my feet inside of his footprints. Why? Why? I just wanted to be like my daddy. I want to follow every step he took. I want to tell you something. Please listen to me. It is vitally important that if both of you are in the home, both of you got to be on the same page. This business, and it's kind of a joke in Christian circles, that the mother is the most spiritual in the home. I will say that many times women are more spiritually sensitive. I will say that. Amen. Now, many times I will say that. They got a more sensitive heart than a fellow does generally. But this business of the ladies, it's okay. You know, at least she's all about Jesus, and I'll just kind of be on half pedal. That's of the devil. That's not of the Bible. Amen. Amen, preacher. I give myself a high five on that one. I'll do it. Both parents. I'm going to tell you, the reason I gave the illustration about my dad is this. If my dad had gone one direction and mom had gone another, my mom and I are close, and we still are. We're so close. We live next to each other. Amen. I would tell you this much, though. I love my mom, but I wanted to emulate my daddy. That's the man I wanted to be. Still want to be. I'm not there yet, but that's the man I still want to be. I would have gone whatever direction he went, no matter what it was. No matter what it was. And I had both parents fully invested in the things of God. And it says in verse number 6 here, they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Now I want you to know something. I'm so thankful for this and found in verse number 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Let me just pause and say here, they did what was right regardless of what it got them. They had been doing this for some time. The Bible says she was an old woman, okay? I won't say how age that was because I want to make it home today. But I want to say something, that they were old, but they had been doing this for a long time regardless of what it had gotten them. So we got to have parents who are not conditional Christians. We got to have parents that say, come hell or high water, excuse my French, but come hell or high water, we're going to do what's right. Let me give you a little testimony here, and I got to do it very quickly. We grew up in a church, Western Kentucky. My parents were instrumental in getting all these things together. We built that church with our own bare hands, the first building anyway, bricks and all those kinds of stuff. If I'm not mistaken, the first service didn't have no windows and had hay bales, if I'm not mistaken. Hay bales for pews because we didn't have no pews, but we had church. Amen. I don't exactly remember that. I just kind kind of do. Maybe it's been taught. But bottom line is this. The bottom line is that my parents set a direction for us that this is what we were going to do. Now, we had that little church. We had a bunch of crazy stuff happen in that little church. Southern towns are amazing. Small people, big drama. Okay, I mean, it was wild. I can't begin to tell you the list of amazingly horrible things that happened from the pulpit and other places in that church. But you know what? I will say this. My parents were slandered. My family was slandered. There was threats made against the family. People trying to get us and mess with us as kids and our parents. Made some salacious statements and malicious statements. All of that happened. But you know what we never stopped doing was serving God.
Amen.
I thought, surely we're going to quit now. No, we just kept doing it. And I remember my dad, you don't remember saying this. We're driving up. We had an Oldsmobile Delta 88. That thing was a boat. Blue four-door. All right. It was huge. I remember that thing was like that. And I remember we were driving, and one of my sisters said something, and you probably don't even remember this. And my dad said this, and it struck in my heart about the age of 7 or 8. We don't do it for man, we do it for God.
Amen.
Why are we still going to church? We do it for God. I never forgot. I never even told you I remember that. I never forgot it. Why? Because my parents said we are committed to the things of God, regardless of what it gets us. We're going to walk in the commandments of the Lord. We're going to do what's right before God. And I want to tell you something. You say, how can my child reach the potential of what God? You just got to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing by the grace of God. You got to just keep at it. Y'all with me this morning? And so what's the secret formula? Faithfulness. Righteous parents, rear righteous children. Disobedient parents, rear disobedient children. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that both parents were doing what was right. Let me give you something else here. When you're out of sync spiritually, your children will be out of sync. I love what the Bible says. They were obedient all the commandments of God. They didn't pick and choose what they were going to do. I still have in my mind, we had this big old oak entertainment center. Had a little bitty TV, but a big old oak entertainment center. And I remember every Saturday night, a tithe check getting put in an envelope up on there. I'd see it from a boy. And I probably know where it is today in my parents' house. I'd probably go find it. I guarantee I could find it on Saturday night somewhere. I guarantee I could. And I know that's not all I'm talking about this morning. I'm simply saying this. When the church was up, when preachers had stole money from the church, and they had. When preachers had run off with secretaries, and they did. When people lied about our family, and they did. The commandments of the Lord never left our home.
Amen.
Let them do what they're going to do, but we're going to serve God.
Amen.
As me and my house will serve the Lord. There was never a question. There was never a question about whether or not we were going to do what God wanted us to do.
Amen.
Never a question. Don't forget, your children are just what you've raised them to be. They will be what you've raised them to be. And if your obedience is conditional, you're going to raise a child whose obedience is conditional to the Lord. Let me give you my second point. Very simple things. They set the example of faithful commitment and service and worship to God. Verse number 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, I don't have enough time to explain this, but Zacharias, he was a Levite. By the way, John the Baptist was a Levite. Many of y'all don't ever think about that, but he really was. He was not a Nazarite. He did not take a Nazarene vow. You need to understand that. He was a Levite. There's some differences going on with that, all right? But the bottom line is this, some differences, not a lot, but there are some differences. I want you to notice what the Bible says, that he did it by his course when he was supposed to be doing it. I don't have time to explain to the priesthood, but there was a kind of a schedule of when this guy was supposed to come up and do what he was supposed to do. He didn't get to do it all the time because there were lots of Levites, and so they had a certain rotation. And wouldn't y'all like that? Only got to come to church on your rotation, amen, but that's not the way it worked. And it's simply saying this, that he went up and did what he was supposed to do, when he was supposed to do it, how he was supposed to be doing it, and that's when God spoke to him. God spoke to him in obedience. Many times people say, God's not talking to me right now. You're in disobedience. You've already shut off the voice. Are y'all with me this morning, church? Help me out here. Zacharias' duty was to burn incense in the temple. Maybe he thought it was a big job. There were other jobs, but the bottom line was this, and it's important to recognize, God spoke to him while he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, when he was supposed to be doing it, and where he was supposed to be doing it, in the house of the Lord. There's many things I could say about this, but I do want to, and I'll preach another sermon another time about it. Whatever happened to commitment to the things of God?
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to be committed to him.
Amen.
He said, that's legalism. No, that's Christianity.
Amen.
Amen. That's Christianity. Be committed to the things of God. That means being committed. Yes, are you ready for this? That means being committed to church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We live in a different time and age. We treat the church like the Fitness 19. We come in and check in and out when we want to. But I want to tell you something, brother and sister. If you're a Christian, you're the part of a body of Christ. How many of you want your body checking out on you from time to time? We need all of it to work all the time. Give me an amen on this one this morning. There is much more to the Christian life than just simple church attendance. You need to understand that one. Somebody give me an amen. It's so much. There's more to that. But I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest with you this morning. As your pastor, loving you, whatever happened to commitment to the local church? Whatever happened to that? Do you know some people will never have a place of service? They'll never make an impact for the things of God just on one issue, the level of commitment. Amen. See, activity, are you ready for this? Commitment does not rise out of activity. Activity arises out of commitment. Right. I'm going to set my heart to obey the Lord, and then things will follow after that. Many people say, I just don't feel real committed this. I mean, I'm just not feeling committed to go to church every week and everything and all the time. I mean, are they really expect me to be there? It has nothing to do with expectations. It's about your wanter.
Amen.
So what's your wanter? That's what you want to do.
Amen.
I want to be with you. Do you know that? I could not wait to get to my Sunday school class this morning. Here's our fellows. They're on probation. We love them. I love them. I didn't know. I figured most of them was going to be there this week, this Sunday. I was so excited to be in Sunday school this day. All these girls and boys are coming in, and they're messy, and they're loud, and they're wonderful and sweet, and they're a bunch of good kids, to be honest with you. They're teenagers. Give them a little space for that, by the way. Amen? They're teenagers. I want to tell you something. I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I want to. You never know what's going to happen, especially around here. We have a lot of great times, amen. But I'm simply saying to this, they set the example of faithful commitment in service and worship to God. I know that you're going to think I'm getting out of control here, but I got to say something to you. My dad worked hard. My mom worked hard. Both my parents worked. My mom ran a Christian school, taught in a Christian school. My dad worked for the federal government. He got home every day at 5:30. He left at 6:30, got home at 5:30 every single day. Can I tell you this, growing up, I'm sorry. I don't think I am. I don't think in that whole time we ever missed more than two services. I'm talking about for the whole time I grew up. I don't ever been out of church more than twice. Once we were told to stay home when we had some action going on at church that kids weren't privy to. We went to church on vacation. We went to church on vacation. Why not, right? I'm just telling you, we had a commitment. You may not think you need to, you say, well, God hasn't convicted me about the Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing. Fine, that's great. You live with your conscience before the Lord. But the bottom line is, if you're looking at it from the have to, from the get to standpoint, you're looking at it the wrong way. We went to church on vacation. We went to church all the time. I always joke, my parents drugged me. They drugged me Sunday morning. They drugged me Sunday night. They drugged me Wednesday night. They drugged me to revival, to missions conference. We just didn't miss church. My dad would come home on Wednesday. I'm just telling you right now. You say, you're speaking about your home. That's the only one I grew up in. That's the only one I can talk about. My dad would come home, and he would come in. He'd get the newspaper. Many times I'd go down and get it, sit it on his armchair, but he'd come and get the newspaper. He'd read that newspaper. He'd prop that recliner out, and he'd take him a nap on Wednesday. Tired. He'd get up. Mom would have something cooked, fried, generally, praise the Lord. And all of that, we'd go to church. Just went to church every time. There was never a question about our commitment to the things of God. You say, you're trying to put your family on a pedestal. I'm trying to tell you, I'm standing in this podium right now because my parents set the example of faithful commitment in service and worship to God.
Amen.
Whatever you allow, your kids will excuse. I do need you to know that.
Amen.
Well, we don't need none of that. We don't need to get the kids and all that kind of stuff. That's just a little extreme. Anything I know of commitment to the things of God, I learned it. Rural Route Box 117A and 2191 State Route 94 East. 117A is my home address. 2191 is my church address. I couldn't have told you how to get anywhere but to church and home when I was a kid. And you think, well, that's just for you. My parents didn't know I was going to be a preacher. They didn't know what they were going to get. They probably still don't know what they got. Amen. I'm just telling you this right now. They did not determine and set out to make me a preacher, but they did say we're going to let God make him what he's going to be. I'm not bragging on myself. I have nothing to brag about up here. This was not my commitment. This was my parents' influence in my life. Maybe I'm bragging on my parents. Forgive me, but I'm going to do it.
Amen.
See, if you make conditions on why you're going to be faithful to the things of God, we've got enough church. This is enough service for us. This is enough music for us. This is enough preaching. This fits in our little life. Your children will excuse that because they're going to say, you didn't need very much of it. I don't need none of it. Y'all don't believe me? Try it out. Do you really want to make the gamble with your kids? Let me ask. Do you really want to try it out? Do you really want that hypothesis? Do you really want to see if that comes to fruition? You really don't. Please understand that. Let me give you number three. We're moving. We'll be close. These are just going to read them now. Verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse number 59. Hop over there with me, please, if you can. Verse number 59. It came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, talking about everybody around him, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he should have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. Now you think, well, that's not a big deal. I mean, did they not like the name John? You know, I got to understand something here, that in the Jewish tradition, you named a child generally after the father. There at least been a family name. So here's my third point. They follow God's will when it's contrary to what their peers thought they needed to do. Tradition was very important to the Jews. Sons were named after their father. But God wanted that boy to be named John. And when everybody else said, this is what they need to be doing with, they said, no, this is what God wants us to do. I'm going to make this statement, and I'm coming to a close. Can I tell you something? I am against traditional Christianity. Amen. What I mean by that is this, that your Christianity is wrapped up in traditions and not in the Bible. Amen. Amen. We all have a little bit of tradition going on in our life. I'll be honest with you. I do some things because this is the way I was raised and did it. You say, why would we do it this way? You know, quite frankly, that's what I've known for 30 years. That's why. Maybe it's some of those things. But the bottom line is this. We're doing our very best as a family. I'm doing my very best. I'm not always succeeding as a pastor to not simply say, this is what traditionally we ought to do, but is this biblical? Is this what we should be doing? See, when you raise children according to tradition instead of according to Scripture, they say this is man-made religion, and therefore I reject that. If this is what man want, man fail, because man will fail. You're going to have a Sunday school teacher fail your child. You're going to have somebody fail your kid. Somebody give me an amen on this one right here. And if it's all just simply about tradition, what comes from men, your children will wholeheartedly reject that because one man's opinion is good as somebody else's. But when it comes from the things of God, and God says, this is what you need to do for your family, regardless of what tradition or culture tells you ought to be doing, then praise God, you can raise your children for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all with me on this one? They follow God's will instead of following just tradition. Let me give you this. We'll be done. Both of them learned to take God at His word. You write the references down. I don't have time to go and expositate. I'm probably not expositing this morning, giving that expository preaching this morning. But the bottom line is this. Elizabeth said, oh my, we're going to have a baby. And John didn't believe it. And so God struck him dumb. The angel said, you're going to be dumb. You're going to be deaf. You can't speak no more. But eventually they learned to take God at His word. Zacharias was stricken dumb because of his unbelief in the word of the Lord. Have you ever watched people do dumb things to their families? Let me tell you why they've done it. Because they have rejected the word of the Lord. Why all this dumb stuff going on in our culture? Because it's void of the word of God.
Amen.
Come on, help me out now this morning. Y'all with me this morning? Why all this dumb stuff? Why you let boys participate and compete against girls? And then they call themselves a girl. And by the way, I would do that so I could have all the records. Amen. To me, I would say, all right, I'll go run the track race. Probably I couldn't beat some of our girls. But the bottom line is this. Listen, this is dumb stuff. What are we doing here? We're just void of the Word of God.
Amen.
People are doing dumb things in their families and to their families just because the Word of God is not present and they haven't taken God's Word at His Word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His dumbness was lifted when he obeyed the Word of God. When he went back and said, no, his name is John, God opened up his mouth.
Amen.
And here's the principle to this. You want to begin to reverse the dysfunction in your home? Just do the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? Let's all stand this morning and I'll close. I'd love to preach more of this. You cannot succeed in the principles of the home apart from the Word of God.
Amen?
Are y'all with me? I told you it's not awe-inspiring to you this morning. But you cannot succeed in raising a home for God if you leave God's Word out of it. I could give you two more things, and I will, and I'll just read them. Both parents lived life in the Spirit of God. The Bible says very clearly that Zacharias was filled with the Spirit of God, and so was Elizabeth. You understand, parents, raising this child for the potential of God, you're going to have to take God's power to do it. Amen. We don't talk about it much anymore. We particularly don't like to talk about it in Baptist churches because we're afraid we're going to get too much of the Spirit, whatever that means. Amen. Last time I checked, you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. 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 All right. Thank you. Okay. Now you're supposed to get filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Now don't be scared of the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be guided by the Spirit of God. And I'll give you this last one. We'll be done. Truly done. If you find in verse number 80, the Bible says that John the Baptist grew up in the desert. Not like the normal priest was supposed to be doing. His parents said, wait a minute, he's got a special purpose. We're going to have to do some things. And here's my final point. This is where I wanted to get to today. They took extreme measures to train him for his future. If you really want your children to live for God, you're going to have to take some extreme measures. You cannot stick them in the way of the sinner. All right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That's an extreme measure. I'm going to tell you this right now. Pull your kids out of the indoctrination stations. I don't care what it takes. You homeschool them, you private school them, you Christian school them, you online school them, but you take them out of that mess. Go to extreme measures. You work a double job, find another job, borrow some money. Do whatever you got to do to make sure you take the extreme measures to get your children raised for the things of God. Amen. Don't mess with their minds. Amen. Amen. Don't destroy their consciences. Don't vex their little souls by seeing and hearing. Take extreme measures to train them for their future. We're taking some extreme measures with our kids. Not extremism, extreme measures. Why? I got little potentials running around. They got to live for the Lord. Amen. What are you willing to do to live out the potential of God in their life? I'm finding many times we will push kids to succeed in sports and this and that. Get them up, get them down, let them run, let them over here, exhaust themselves. But when it comes to the things of God, that's just too much. Raise champions for the Lord.
Amen.
All introductory. I'll preach a message another time. Very basic principles. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Sweeter the fragrance of the blood.